Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Since the beginning, if I'm fine with 6,000 years-ish of humanity, do you want to go by that account? But it doesn't matter to me. From the very beginning, I'm not going to split hairs with anybody over that, but from the very beginning, that was the MO. It hasn't changed one lick. Satan's doing the same thing. And what's his objective? John 10:10. He wants to rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to rip you off. Nothing's changed. You see it from the very beginning. You see it then with Jesus. That's his attack against Jesus. None of us are going to be stronger than Jesus, right? He used that from the very beginning with humanity. He used it with Jesus. And then what? John is warning the church, God's people. Hey, be careful. These three things. That Satan's doing the same thing. Same three things. Man, I think, boy, that's so important for us to embrace, to know, to walk in. Because look at this guy's bummed, man. Look at what happens. Verse 4 of chapter 8. 1 Samuel, all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They come to his hometown there, and they just said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. He says, man, you're old, your kids aren't flying right. This is my version of it. Now, they said, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Now, you remember what they were designed to be? A what? Theocracy. God ruled. God governed people. That was the design. God wanted to just rule and reign in their lives. He wanted to care for them, do everything for them. All that. God wanted to do that. God wants to do that for you and me and everybody. God wants to do that. But now all of a sudden, they said, no, we want to be like everybody else. He says, we just want to have a king. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. Now, Samuel was probably pretty bummed. I would imagine, you know. Oh, great. So I've gotten older. My kids are blowing life. And now the people, this is, you know, they just want a king. And what a, you know, he could have gone into this whole bummer, poor me thing. I love this. Look at what he says in the end of verse 6. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. That wasn't his fourth choice thing to do. Is that your first choice? Really? Really? Seek Jesus? Is that really? Oftentimes, it's get on the phone blah, 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 about some dumb thing, or we call this, or we do that, or we write this, or we get this, and we try and get people, see it my way, see it my way, you know? But he doesn't do any of that. What does he do? He just goes right to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. Samuel looked to God first, right out of the chute. He's going right to God to find out, hey, man, what do you think about this? And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. I personally have dealt with a lot of different situations in ministry and different things over the years. It's just been enough mileage to see a lot of different things go on. And it's easy to go into that mode. And it's easy for you to go into that mode with a friend or a situation. It's easy to go into that mode. You know, I like it that the Lord says here, it's not always personal and it's not always all about you. I really like that. It's not always personal. It's not always all about you, you know? He says, man, they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. The rejection was not against Samuel, but against the God that Samuel represents. Man, that's important. A lot of situations are like that. It's people turning from a direct, simple relationship with the Lord to something else, get sidetracked. And here, the people, all the people, they've just gotten sidetracked. And according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. He says, you know what? This is the pattern of the people, man. This is just the nature of how it's been going, just the pattern of how they do things. He goes, even though I brought them up, God says, out of Egypt, they go off and they've forsaken me and served other gods. They're doing the same to you also. It's nothing new. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. So this is the way the king's going to rule. This is what Samuel says. Hey, look, I've talked to the Lord about this. You know, you want a king. This is how it's going to go. So he says, and he said in verse 11, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, and will set some to plow his ground, to reap his harvest, take some to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Basically, he says, I'm going to draft him. I'm going to create a draft, and you know that king is going to just take the men and your sons and so on, and this is what he's going to do with them. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields, or your vineyards, and your olive groves, and will give them to his servants. Now he will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give all to his officers and servants. It says, so, which is was the common thing in their day, was that they would take a tenth. The kings would take a tenth. It was the tax. I think some of us would say, gosh, a tenth would be sweet, man. You know, a tenth would be awesome. I looked it up today, and it's the 12th of April is your tax liberation day, tax freedom day. Is that you will have paid all your tax, all you've worked all that time to get to that day. Isn't that radical? You work all that time up till through the 12th, and then you're finally free. The rest of the money you start earning is yours. Man, January 1st, through that point, that's the general average of for Americans now. So, crazy, huh? And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys and put them to his work. And he will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Basically, God told Samuel to tell them, hey, this is how it's going to go when you choose for yourself how you want this to play out, and this is what will happen. And nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They wouldn't even hear reason. Isn't it interesting? They're obstinate. They're in a state of rebellion, aren't they? They just won't hear even something that's reasonable that makes sense. You know, isn't it interesting? And this is one of the reasons I wanted to go over that idea of the enemies wanting to rob, kill, and destroy, and how that all works, is because you can see here, it's a blinding thing that happens. We become blinded. Us getting our way is a blinding thing to us. Sin does that to us. It causes blindness to set in our lives. And we don't see things and situations for how they really are. Not any longer. These people have it all explained to them. Hey, are you sure, you guys? This is what's going to go down if we go this route. And that, you know what? That's good logic and makes good sense. And they can review and think, yeah, gosh, that's probably true because we've seen it go down that way with other, you know, rulers and stuff around us. I mean, it's not brand new data in that sense, but they're blinded to it because they want their own way. Nevertheless, the people refuse to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us. No, we want it this way, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. No, your sons, they're the ones that are going to go out and fight the battles. You know, he's not. You know, it's just, it's deception, isn't it? It's just utter, complete deception. But this is all part of how the enemy works, isn't it? Gets us thinking a certain thing. We get kind of blinded by that. All of a sudden, we get locked on it. And we just stay in that course, even knowing after full explanation the destruction that can happen, the dissatisfaction, the harm that will come. And Samuel heard all the words of the people. So Samuel heard them all out on this, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. God doesn't always hear everything real well. He's a little bit hard of hearing. He's getting like me. That's not true. What does Samuel do? What does this mean that he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord? What's the thought behind that? You know, God knows everything. Does God not know what's going on in your life? When you sit down and you say, God, I've got to talk to you about this. And you think, most of the time I know who threw the rock through the window. I was just waiting for some solid confession, some people to come clean, you know? I was waiting to hear from them. Was God really unsure? Adam, where are you? I can't see you. You know, I mean, are you kidding me? God knew exactly where Adam was. God knew exactly what had gone down. God knew, but what did he want? He wanted Adam to come out and talk to him. He wants the same thing he's always wants, the same thing he wants with us today, and that's fellowship. He wants fellowship. It's so awesome that Samuel understood relationship. Communication in a relationship. Samuel was just going, and he was just going to go pray some more. He just went and repeated all this. Gosh, Lord, what happened? Now they want to do this, and they want to do this, and they want to handle it this way, and they're going to go there. And there's just this whole thing. He just kind of lays it all out. He says, hey, he repeats all of this in the hearing of the Lord, just kind of pours it back out, really just in prayer. God, again, does not need the information, does he? God knows all, but he wants the fellowship. Think of the things when your kids are young, the discoveries, you know, the new discoveries they have. You know, they have this new discovery that was, you know, something they've learned about or found out about. You've known about it a long time, right? Now, if you're really dumb, I think, or really just completely insensitive and you got no sense about you at all, you're going to try and tell them in advance of them telling you, and because you are really smart and know everything. That's really lame and uncool. The best thing you can do is just sit there and listen. They just want to tell you what's new, what they're learning, what's going on, and they just tell you. That's awesome. That's good. The things that are happening, the things that are going on. It's what we want. We want that kind of interaction. We get bummed as they get older because all of a sudden they go through that, remember, that one phase where they just kind of, they don't say anymore. And if they do sell you, it's only because they know everything that you don't know. But the desire for just fellowship, the desire for interaction, that's the heart of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. Ultimately, okay. Next study, we'll get into this a little bit further. Hosea 13 kind of plays out this exact situation beginning with verse 9. Hosea 13, begin with verse 9, begins this play. God basically is reiterating what happened because of this choice. Interesting. Hosea 13, 9. O Israel, you are destroyed. So it went pretty good. Wise decision. Look at what did they do? They didn't just leave it in the hands of God, did they? They forced God's hand, right? They didn't leave it in the hands of God. Instead, they forced God's hand. O Israel, you are destroyed. That was the end result of it. But your help is from me. He says, you know, really, it's going to come from me, Hosea 13, 9. But your help is going to come from me. He says, I will be your king. Where is any other that he may save you in all your cities? He says, really, you've chosen this other thing, and yet I am the one that really is to be your king, and I'm really the one that can protect you. I'm really the one that can care for you. I'm really that one. But you're destroyed Because, and you, your judges to whom you said, give me a king and princes. I gave you a king in my anger, God says. That's his response. I gave you, I did that then. But it wasn't, that's not God's perfect will, is it, for them? They were pushing, and he said, okay, fine, okay, have it your way. God's not going to force himself, you see, on you. He's not going to force himself on me. God gave them basically what they asked for. It's important for us, you know, when we think about what we want or how we want God to move and what God does and how God responds to that. I think demanding our own way is probably unwise, wouldn't you say? That would be a good lesson learned in this. Just demanding to have your own way. Getting all set. No, it's not really always the best thing. It's better to just trust God. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about Lot and Abraham. And you remember when Abraham and Lot, their herds and their herdsmen were kind of running together, and they were butting heads at the wells, and there were just problems, you know. God had blessed both of them. They just had a lot of animals and a lot of guys there taking care of their animals, and there was just battles at the wells, and there's just issues going on. Things were going down. It was just a bad thing. And so they got together. Abraham and Lot got together, and they just kind of talked about it together. And Abraham, just, he's the old guy, man. He's been walking with the Lord a long time. He just looks at Lot, his nephew. He says, look, Lot, dude, look it. These guys don't need to be fighting like this and stuff. We're family. There doesn't need to be like that. You look out around the land. You choose what land you want to go to. You go to the south, I'll go to the north. You go to the west, I'll go to the east. I'll just go the other way. He let Lot choose, and Lot, in my opinion, foolishly chose. Lot looked out and he saw the nice grasslands down there. Saw Sodom and Gomorrah, this nice big city. Man, that's nice. I'll just cruise down there. Yep, I'll take that right over there. Looks great. I mean, it looks good. The lust of the eyes. It looks great. Perfect. I'll just go that direction. And Abraham wasn't trusting in Lot. Abraham was trusting in God. You see, Abraham learned a long time ago that by faith, he was just to trust God. Let God make the decision for him. Let God work it out. Obviously, there's not enough space. We got to do something. God, you figure it out. This is the thing. Abraham had seniority, didn't he? He could have done whatever, right? But he let him choose. Lot chose. Ends up, Abraham has to really kind of spiritually go to bat for him, remember? To save him out of the city when judgment's going to come. This is the thing. How many choices do you make for you instead of letting God work through that and help you see your way through it? That's a real big question. How many decisions do you know? I want it, you know, and you just get headstrong and defiant. And then ultimately we can end up in destruction. Isn't that what the end result was in Hosea? Israel, you're in destruction. Now you're destroyed because of their own thinking, their own decisions, their own adamant, hey, I'm going to do it my way thing. Look at Samuel laid it all out for him, didn't he? He said, look, this is the way it's going to go down. It's not going to be this awesome thing. Abraham pleads on Lot's behalf, hey, listen, I don't know if there's so many believers down, if there's so many righteous, gets down to a couple of righteous, you know, will you spare this? The angelic beings go down. Lot makes it out, doesn't he? Lot makes it out. His wife doesn't make it out. She gets hung up on what she might be missing back behind. She doesn't make it out. His daughters that do make it out, they ended up perverted because of the city that they were living in, this perverse place. It's just, you end up with the Moabites is really what you end up with. That's the people that ended up by that. It's just horrible. The end result was just horrible. Again, whose decision got them there? Really sobering things to think through and then say, okay, if the enemy came to rob, to kill, and to destroy, then I need to be wise about the decisions that I'm making and that I let God be in the mix with that. Because if not, I'm going to end up destroyed. I don't want to end up shipwrecked. I don't think anybody here wants to end up shipwrecked. I hope not. And the only way is through humility, isn't it? Humbling ourselves and saying, God, you know what? You know better for me than I could ever know for myself. And I think it's important that we listen to the Samuels around us. God brings Samuels around us for a reason. And if we don't listen to the reasoning, then we're going to end up in destruction. And if you're thinking in your mind you're exempt from that, I'd think twice. Maybe three times, maybe four times. I'd think through it a few times because, man, none of us are. None of us are. I've made enough mistakes personally that I know how this plays out. I've made enough mistakes all on my own to know how this can go. And I've watched it play out over and over again. What a powerful chapter, just chapter 8 was, just for us to think through very soberly. Hey, was that my decision? Because a lot of times people come to me, well, I don't know why God's doing, I don't know how much God has to do with this. Let's get back more to how we got to this spot, you know? Because a lot of times God didn't have anything to do with getting to this spot. So we don't even blame God on that. We certainly should plead mercy and seek God, but I don't think we need to blame him. So we just got to process through that. Wouldn't it be better to just say, God, you know what? It's my flesh. Up, pride of life. Up, lust of the eyes. You know, whatever it is, just, hey, woo. Come clean, man, before the Lord. So much better. So much more peaceable. Go back through, muse on it, think through it. Think through some of the ramifications of it. And you see how this plays out each and every time the same way over and over again. He's just got three main plans that he works out over and over again. Wouldn't it be good to have a guard post on all those areas? You know, just set guard on it, be watchful, be vigilant. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. And I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but he wants you to open the door and invite him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with your earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus or give it to Jesus that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you and he wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you for the new life that I have in you now. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose. Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life. I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, come.